Uncle Lester left me $2,000, which was a lot of money at that time, for my education. And I don't know quite the relationship between Uncle Lester and my mother and dad, but I do know that Anna Barnes and the Barneses were somehow staying with or lived with or were, I don't know. Anna Barnes was my dad's mother, and she died early, but nevertheless, that's a connection that I remember, and we had some very beautiful neighbors in that time, and I didn't really know what a Jewish person was or any difference between Jewish people and any other person. They were just people. But they were very, very kind people, and they would always help out wherever it was. And if they needed somebody, we needed somebody while they were there. And it was a very progressive type thing, because I remember Uncle Lester had a old Model A, a T, I don't know which one. Anyhow, he had a turnaround, so you could drive in, then you turned your car around on this turntable, and it was ready to go back out the garage. And it was, you never backed out of the driveway. You just drove in, turned the turntable around, and drove back out again. And that was kind of a novel thing to me at that particular point. Anyhow, Uncle Lester decided that apparently he was the superintendent of schools, by the way, and I remember my first experience with him was that when I got into Youngstown school systems, which is, I think, the third grade, he came into the classroom, and he was looking around, and I saw him before, and I sort of knew who he was, and I didn't say anything, and he sat down with the teacher, and then he sat down, and he motioned to Billy Beardmore to come on up and sit in his lap. You know, he thought Billy was me. We got him straightened out, but it was quite an experience to have a superintendent at schools just come in and sit down in your classroom and call and talk to people. I don't know if it happens today, but I kind of doubt it. But he was that kind of a person, and he was a PhD. He was a doctor, real credit in education at that time. And mother, of course, was a master's in home economics, or she had her master's degree. And my dad was a teacher then from Ohio State. They met there, so. There was a sort of a lineage there, and we were staying there when my dad, it was during the Depression, and my dad and mother both were working, mother with the WPA and so forth, but that's where mother got the word that he'd collapsed in school and died. Yeah, mother worked 5 states in the WPA program to try to help people to learn how to take care of themselves and how to keep their families together and all that. And how does this all fit in with my high estate? Well, I decided that try to convince the trustee of the estate that I was going to go into aeronautical engineering, and if I had to go into aeronautical engineering, I should learn how to fly. I hadn't learned about airplanes. Well, I convinced him that at that time that I needed to become a pilot, and apparently agreed, and I got some money to do some to get private lessons at Lane Aviation, and I eventually got soloed and got my pilot's license, That was even before I went into North America. It was just before North America. So I had a pilot's license, and I had all this background, and I worked at North America, and I worked at lots of different places. And that freshman year was one of those types of things where, okay, you sort of look around for work to do, and I worked for an outfit called Hirsch Electrical, and Hirsch Electrical spotted poles, electric poles on drawings. And it was my job then to take their scribble notes from the field and put them on drawings. And they loved it. And I really didn't know what they were doing, but what they did was they got paid for every pole they spotted on the maps, so that it was a moneymaker for them. And at one time they asked me to come up with a mount for a very heavy transformer that they were putting in. And so I knew a little bit from Matt Sutton about, and some of the people in the structures and mechanical engineering department, I knew a little bit about strength of materials and stuff like that, and did a little bit of that in Rocketdyne also. But that's a little ahead of the story. At any rate, I designed up a big concrete cube with a lot of steel rods in it and wire cages and stuff like that. And I took it back to the professor, and he looked at it. He says, "Well," he says, "it certainly ought to hold everything that you have to put on it." And they built it, and they stuck the transformer, and it did work, so that worked okay. But I earned some money with doing that, and then I found out that I could also earn some money doing sitting there doing my homework during the I did the physics library. So I went. I said, "Oh, okay. Well, it's a job on campus, and it's very close, and I don't have to go anyplace, and all I have to do is sit there at night and do my homework in the physics library. And if somebody wanders in and wants a book, why, then I would get it for them, and I could study in the physics libraries and stuff like that. I could had a little bit of a privilege there. I could go into the various libraries and study where it was really quiet, because the main library was very noisy. But at any rate, I did get some, I think, 80 cents an hour. Maybe I got a raise to 85 cents an hour. I don't know, something like that. But I was getting paid for doing my homework. And every once in a while, a grad student wander in and want a thesis, or he wanted a book or something like that. So I'd go get it for him, and he'd be happy, and I'd be happy, because I went back to doing my homework and studying and things like that. So that was good. So I earned a little money there, and I working at North American and the Rocketdyne experiences and things like that, I earned money, and it was good money. They paid me a lot for, Stan Hellman was just super in that way, because he made sure I got paid, and I know I didn't get paid like all the rest of the engineers, but pretty close, and I made enough in the summer times to sort of finance my education in the throughout the rest of the period of time. And of course, mother was always there with her, watching, make sure I got something to eat, and she would get meal cards and things like that for us, so that we ate good food and had good food, and also make sure that we did have enough money to actually do that, so without having to I don't know, buy junk food. At that time wasn't called junk food, but it really was. And make sure that we had medical services, and she knew some people who were in the medical field that she knew, went to school with, and Doc would always give me these Civil War pills, which would, when I got sick, he'd give me these Civil War pills. I don't know what was in them. They were blue and gray, red and gray pills, so we call them Civil War pills, and he'd give me a big shot of B12, and off I went, and that was Doc Dillahunt, and Doc Dillahunt was just a fantastic guy. He was young, but apparently knew Mother very well, and maybe knew Dad also. I don't know, but he always fixed me up. He just gave me this big shot of B12 and a bunch of pills to take, and off I'd go. And pretty soon, everything that I had sickness-wise is gone. So that's a little bit of background and how I got my medical treatments and things like that. But outside of that, Dr. Dels was the one that was watching my health, and my brother's health as well. Up until, I mean, she was a pediatrics doctor, but she took care of us, and that was good. And that group of my dad and Delphs and the funeral director, Dave Williams. So Williams, and they all play tennis together, but Williams, Dave Williams, and Gene Delphs, and my dad. I don't know whether my mother played tennis or not. I don't remember. But they were very close friends, and it was quite an experience to have growing up with Dave Williams, who sort of looked after us too, because he buried our dad, took care of him. So one of these days I'll see him all again soon. And when it happens, it'll be joyful. And if it doesn't happen, well, for a while, okay. It doesn't happen for a while. And if good Lord wants to sit with my illness and whatever it is, frailties, then okay, I put up with him until he decides otherwise. So a little bit of background.